What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Folks, you know, we've been talking about drainage in the city of New Orleans for a long, long time and how we go about funding the projects necessary to improve on drainage and just the day-to-day maintenance of the drainage system as well. The Bureau of Governmental Research has released a report and analysis called Paying for Drainage, examining how the Sewage and Water Board's efforts to develop a funding proposal can keep up with their growing needs. And we are joined by Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, as well as Stephen Stewart, Vice President and Research Director for BGR. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us on, Newell.
Thank you.
So, Becky, I reviewed the report last night. I have to honestly say the numbers are kind of staggering. I mean, this is going to be a – I mean, you know, you read these things and it's kind of like, oh, wow. I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot, but once you see it kind of laid out and what it's going to take to get out in front of these challenges, this is not going to be easy.
No, it's not. And I'll just mention the two. I had the exact same reaction when I read the first draft. And the two that stood out to me were the, you know, the city relies on three drainage taxes to pay for drainage. Two of them expire between now and 2031. One expires next year. The other expires in 2031. They represent 60% of the money that we use for drainage. And that money is already insufficient. And so something's going to need to be done. And then the other one that really got me is there's $800 million of capital needs in our drainage system, and we only spend $7 million a year on it. Like, we are never going to get there under current, you know, in current form.
And then the landscape gets even dicier because you, and I knew this number, this is one of the few factors that I did know, that 37% of New Orleans assessed property value is exempt from property taxes, and a lot of those are not-for-profits. And something has to change, right? Fundamentally. I mean, you can't have development, whether you're a for-profit or not-for-profit, placing stormwater or whatever it may be on the streets and not help pay for the upkeep, the maintenance of the system. I mean, it just can't work this way.
Yes, that is also a key feature of this report, Newell. So as you know, drainage is important to everyone. You don't want your home or your business to flood. You need to be able to drive to work and get home from work and pick up your kids from school and things like that. But, you know, 37% of the real estate in New Orleans doesn't pay taxes because it's either owned by nonprofits or it's public, like government property, or, you know, there's exemptions because of the homestead exemption. And so, you know, that means that your nonprofits and governmental entities are benefiting from the drainage system, but not paying into it. And conversely, it also means that those of us who are paying property taxes that fund drainage, you know, the burden is really all on us. And people right now are feeling really cash strapped between, you know, insurance rates being really high, inflation and mortgage rates and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's time to broaden the base of entities that pay into the system. And so the whole reason, you know, we're doing this is our system currently relies solely on taxes to pay for drainage. But, you know, those taxes are about to come up for renewal. They are insufficient. We are the annual drainage budget's about $90 million a year. There's, but it really costs about $125 to $150 million a year. That's what's needed. So there's going to be additional resources needed in the system. And the Sewerage and Water Board has long been thinking about creating something called a stormwater fee to help bring new resources and new payers into the system. And because it would be a fee, not a tax, nonprofits and governmental entities would have to pay into the system. So you'd be getting more money from more sources that could probably get the city closer to where it needs to go with drainage, with the drainage budget. And then it also, stormwater fees, they're based on runoff and the size of and the amount of impervious surface on properties. So there are built-in incentives for property owners to, you know, make changes to help retain water or not push as much runoff into the system. Like you could put in permeable pavement instead of a paved driveway and things like that. So there's a lot of reasons why one might want to look at a stormwater fee right now. And so what BGR did is we put out this report in advance of any proposal that outlines the need and the best practices. And it is our hope that this report will help the Sewerage and Water Board to put out a new proposal, a good proposal, a well-structured proposal, something like that could come as soon as this year. And then that it would also empower everyone else, whether you are a nonprofit trying to decide whether you're on board with this idea or not, or whether you are a public official. We're hoping that in one place, this report puts everything together that will help those parties ask the questions that need to be asked. That we know that trust in the Sewerage and Water Board is low. And, you know, I think a lot of people feel that if they might be asked to pay into, if they might be asked to pay a stormwater management fee to go into the drainage system, they really want to know that it's going to make a difference and that the money's going to be well used. So this is our best shot
at right.
helping to guide that.
The first shot at this with a renewal, a millage renewal, is, as you pointed out, it's going to be, I guess, in 2026 because it expires in 2027, right? So you have to do it in advance of the expiration. I don't know how the election dates fall out, but that's right here. I mean, that's it is upon us. You want to talk about disaster? Talk to us, Stephen or Becky, if that first tax in 2027 doesn't get renewed.
Yes, you're right, Newell. It's a $22 million source of revenue. And so that goes right into the pipes and the pumps for the Sewerage and Water Board runs. And so it's a key part of how they keep things going right now.
And Newell, we were surprised. I mean, we were honestly expecting a proposal to come out like last year, because you've got to have a massive public education campaign about this. And as you know, time's running short. I mean, one of these drainage taxes expires in 2027, and there's a lot to do. First of all, you know, to educate people about a stormwater management fee and maybe to get them on board with renewing the tax. And we, I think there had been a lot of talk in the community that maybe the stormwater fee would replace the taxes. But one thing we learned in working on this report is that it looks like the Sewerage and Water Board wants to, have a broader mix and retain the taxes at some level, or we don't have any details on that, and add a stormwater fee to kind of broaden it. But again, these are big things. The public, voters, elected officials need to understand sooner rather than later what they're going to do.
So I got a text here. It says, so can you just answer the question and tell us that the homeowners will be paying more in taxes and fees for the drainage? Well, the answer is we don't know, because they haven't released a plan. We, you all know a little bit about what they're contemplating at this point. but you don't really know whether or not you would be given, if there's a fee and we move to the fee, because one, there are many options, right? You could move to the fee 100% and give a credit on the fee paid on your property taxes is one approach. You know, the transition from a tax to a fee, I don't know exactly how legally you do all of that, but that would have more payers, obviously, paying the fee. So there are a number of different options, and y'all outline all of that in the report. You look at other peer cities as to what their experiences are, you know, with this fee model, a stormwater fee model, and but none of the options are pretty because we're behind a proverbial eight ball. And I guess, Becky, it's quite simply, we can't afford to kick this can down the road anymore. We've been kicking the can down the road for a long, long time. You know, that can is so dented up. I mean, it's not going to roll down the road very far, right?
That's right.
I mean, that can is really, that can is basically flat. I mean, there's not much to hit any longer, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be doomsday, but I would suggest to you, if you're going to read the report, and I suggest you do read the report, pour yourself a glass of wine. I mean, because this is pretty ugly.
Yeah, I mean, drainage and flooding are existential threats to New Orleans. And
that is the appropriate use of that description, right? That word.
Yeah,
it's the most overused word in the English language, but it's appropriate here.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Care.
Yeah, the number of people who have scary experiences getting stranded while trying to drive somewhere or, you know, losing a car in front of their house, as I did in front of my house a few years ago. And, you know, businesses flooding in Mid-City, the Broad Theater and Gabrielle Restaurant and some of these other ones. This is a problem. And, you know, we've really gotten behind in maintaining our drainage and building the facilities that we need. And so, you know, it is all this is going to be a big public policy topic in the next couple of years, because it has to be. And, you know, the Sewerage and Water Board has to get this right. And public confidence, I think, has been low in the utility in recent years after the billing debacles. And so, you know, they really need to come up with a sound proposal that's well-reasoned, explained to the public, and clear about exactly what all of us would get in, you know, if we're asked to pay more money into it, and, you know, to deliver. And because, as you said, you know, one of the taxes expires next year. It's right around the corner. But there's a chance here, in a more positive sense, there's a chance here to come up with a new model that, you know, has some, you know, relies on taxes, and, you know, so you get some of your larger properties and more valuable properties paying into it at an appropriate amount, but that a stormwater fee.
Becky, I don't mean to be rude, but let me stop you right there and ask you to explain the difference and how this works between the tax and the fee. Because it does impact the total amount of dollars collected, right? And I've already, that was the first set of texts that I'm getting as people is like, tell us the difference in the impact.
Okay. And Stephen will probably chime in here too. But the, you know, if you are only relying on taxes, then there are a lot of parties that don't pay any money into the drainage system. Think it's nonprofit hospitals, religious institutions, universities, large governmental buildings like maybe the Superdome or Convention Center, things like that. But, you know, your higher value properties, because it's a tax and that's, you know, based on the assessed value of your property, they would pay in more money. If you add a stormwater fee, then you bring in a whole bunch of new payers that don't currently pay in, but that benefit from drainage. And then there are also potential credits if you jackhammer your driveway and put in permeable pavement, or you know, add rain barrels or whatever they might come up with, that you would, you know, slow the entry of water into the traditional pump and pipe drainage system, then you might get a little relief on your bill. So it just kind of gets more people involved in different ways. And yeah. Stephen, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
And just to add that, you know, a fee is calculated based on the what they call the impervious area of your property. So the hard surfaces that are on your property, like your roof, your driveway, patios, any kind of paved areas, do they run a calculation of how much impervious area that you have? And then the fee is tied to that amount. So they figure out how much does a typical residential unit have, and then based on that, they
by square footage, they're assessing the square footage, right,
of this impervious area. And then they look at, for larger properties, say like a strip mall, they would say, okay, for the all of the parking lot that you have, the buildings, that is so many multiples of what a typical residential unit pays. So you would pay the residential base rate times the the number of multiples that you have. So if you have 20 times the amount of impervious area that a typical residential unit has, you pay 20 times that base fee. And then there's different tiers that they can set up within the structure, and that's what BGR is encouraging the Sewage and Water Board to look at, is, you know, how do we set up the tiers so that, you know, those properties in New Orleans, like we have a lot of houses that sit on small lots and they don't really have much of a yard. There's mainly just a house on the lot. How do you kind of make the fee fair for them compared to larger, more suburban style houses? So there's different tiers you can set up on the residential to try to help with affordability and equity.
Yeah. I get texts like this all the time, and they say billions of federal dollars after Katrina, and it seems like we're worse off than before. Mm. It doesn't make sense. Well, but the reality is we're not worse off. The thing is that not all of those Katrina dollars were associated to a lot of these different types of projects. And quite frankly, as we said before, and I think Becky, you would agree, we've kicked this can so many times and just, you know, have taken a piecemeal approach to trying to figure out the funding and financing of this. And we build structures and we don't ever, you know, set aside a revenue source to maintain them. I mean, we should not build a single thing unless there is a revenue source to maintain it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean,
because we're behind the eight ball from day one.
Yeah, Newell, there's so many reports that we do here at BGR where you realize that there have been decades of underfunding of the system. And what that really means is that for, you know, decades, residents of New Orleans were essentially getting a free ride and not paying the full amount of the services that they're benefiting from. And unfortunately, for all of us who live here now, it means that we've got to pay the more expensive catch-up costs. And you see this whether it's on our water mains or whether it's on the, you know, sewerage and drainage system or whether it's on our roads. And, you know, it's really a generational cost transfer. And we're living now during a time when things are really at the breaking point. And we've got these huge gaps. Again, like the, you know, one of those stats that stood out to me of that we spend $7 million a year on capital projects and there's a need, you know, there's an $800 million backlog. Like, so we need to, I mean, the good thing about this discussion that will be happening is that it will really be a discussion about how to pay for drainage holistically and with a system and with a plan. And, you know, we just hope the Sewerage and Water Board comes up with a sound proposal. You know, we were doing this report because we're not advocating for one approach or another, but what we're advocating for is a high quality proposal, and we're trying to empower everyone to weigh in on that debate, and so that we come out with a good funding system going forward.
And look, you know, I like my driveway as much as the next person, right? A solid driveway. Yeah. It's really pretty. I got limestone, border, the whole nine yards. Yeah. I love it. But the reality is that when we think about this, we probably shouldn't have it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because as you have more of this impervious features of every piece of construction that we do, we're complicating the issue and the problem for ourselves. And our mm-hmm. and our response can't be an announcement in advance of a storm, hey, you can go park on the neutral ground.
Right.
You know, I mean, every time we do that release, I mean, I just kind of scratch my head. I said, fundamentally, something's not right here if that's what we're offering, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is going to take, you know, sacrifice on everybody's part. You know, and I've said this about flood insurance rate. Maybe we shouldn't be building houses on slabs. You know, mm-hmm. maybe the folks that were early onset developers of this area, they knew something when they built houses on piers. Just maybe. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I gotta imagine that we wouldn't be having the flood insurance numbers that we have if we didn't allow that. And
right.
You know,
it's
kind of weird.
I mean, it's gonna be tough. I mean, this concept of the stormwater fee will push forward those discussions about impervious surfaces that, you know, most people never think of when you're like, oh, I'm going to put in a pool in my backyard and this beautiful pool deck and all of this. You know, most people aren't thinking about the implications for drainage. And, you know, this will help facilitate that. At the same time, there are some parties who, you know, have been thinking about this. I'm always impressed with the Ruby Slipper on Broad Street. You know, they've got this giant parking lot that's all gravel, and then, you know, Parkway Bakery where you get your po' boy, like, same thing. They've got a huge gravel parking area, and you'd probably start to see a lot more of that going forward.
Yeah, and they have those concrete mosaic things that you put down that are, you know, that have holes in it that are impervious. Mm-hmm. And they're very attractive, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like, maybe that's where we have to end up going. I don't know. But I think it's going to take more than just focusing on this issue. We have to figure out how to mitigate the challenges moving forward. Because if we ever get to in-migration of population and we start building and building more, because we have a lot of – I was surprised. I pulled down on the assessor's website how many vacant – land, there's 23,720 vacant residential land parcels and 2,000 vacant commercial land parcels. So you're talking about 25,000 lots that we can go build on. And if we do it the way we're doing it right now, we're making our problem even worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these are the types of things to think about as, you know, as yes, if new homes or buildings are built on some of those lots, these
and
are
that's a big number because there's only 165,000 total parcels.
So mm-hmm. Right.
That number's big, you know, when you think about it. And, you know, so obviously, yeah. And look, I would suggest that people go to, what is it, BGR.com?
BGR.org.
But.org and pull this report
right
down. Paying for drainage, creating fair, transparent, and accountable stormwater funding for New Orleans. I love the cover sheet to it of the car going under the overpass with you know, water up to the top of the hood, and they're headed for a neutral ground.
Water.
Trying to find a neutral ground. As always, appreciate you guys joining us. Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, and Stephen Stewart, Vice President and Research Director of BGR as well. Great report. Appreciate the time you spend with us.
Thanks so much, Newell. Have a great day.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks, with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog, when we return. Stay with us.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.